This series has been a series that I find very interesting and very fulfilling. For many times we hear the 23rd Psalm, and it's usually at points in our life where we're dealing with distress and gloom, and we hear the sweet psalmist of Israel sharing a word with us about his relationship with the shepherd. For the last few weeks, we've been focusing and looking at it with a very keen eye to make sure we would hear exactly what God would have us to know. And today we want to focus our attention on verse number 4, and our sermonic thought on today will be divine addition. Before we get into the word, let's go to God and ask for his blessings on this word. Father God, we yield ourselves to you, to your way, and to the direction of your Holy Spirit. Stand up in me, speak through me. Use me as an instrument in thy hand to conduct thy word. Prepare people who are receptive and responsive to that word. Allow the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit to fall fresh and remain on us. And when we leave this place, start our cause, and exit this parking lot, we can feel the sense of your presence, and we can be a little bit better than we were when we entered these doors. God, we love you and we thank you, and we consider it done in Jesus' name. And all who agree with that prayer shouted, amen. For the next few moments, we want to fine-tune our thinking and our thoughts as we gather ourselves around this thought, divine addition. Divine addition. When we examined verse number 1, we talked about divine assurance. It was there that we introduced the relationship of the shepherd with the sheep, the reality that God is. And as long as God is the shepherd and we stay in the sheep's place, then there's an unbelievable relationship when we connect with God. Amen. Verse number 2, we focus our attention on the divine alignment, which is simply to mean that I'm walking every day and what God has instructed to be a direction for my life. That every day I get up, every decision I make, I am seeking to make sure that I am in the right alignment with God's word. That I do not compromise, that I do not just do things to be politically correct, that I do not do things just to go along, to get along, but that I am actually walking in God's word. On last week, in verse number 3, we talked about divine ascension, which simply means he leads us in the path of righteousness, which means that as we commit ourselves to follow God, then every day, every moment of our lives, we should be becoming better spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, socially, and in every arena of life. It is at that point when we understand the assurance and we're in the right alignment and we're ascending to where Christ wants us to be, then there is a trust relationship that develops between the shepherd and the sheep. It is within that trust relationship that the shepherd can now start giving us as sheep additions to our lives. Many times we are frustrated with God and we are frustrated with the word of God because we know what it says. We're abiding by the word, but yet we are not seeing the overflow and the addition in our lives. It may simply be that, yes, we know the word, but we have not yet sold out to the word. And so God cannot trust you with promotion and addition in this season in your lives. I wish I had an amen right there. As I said in our earlier service, the Lord blessed me to get married, to find an unbelievable godly woman at 33 years old. If I would have found her at 30, I would have messed it up. because I was not able to handle what God was going to give me at 30, he made me wait a while. As I continued to follow him down the path of righteousness, and he then could trust me with his treasure, it was only then that he allowed us to link up in holy matrimony, not because I deserved it, but because he could trust me to take care of what he did for me and worship him in the process. Many times God knows that if he gives you provision too soon, that you will worship the provision and not the provider. You will focus all of your attention with the new car. You will wash the new car 3 days a week, but only go to church 3 times a year. And he's saying, I don't want to give you anything too soon that you cannot handle. So verse number 4 is a verse that focuses on getting the attention of the saints who are maturing to the place where you can handle God's addition and God can trust you with promotion. You should say, you talking to me right now. It's in this particular passage of scripture now that we see David utter these words. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So the first thing that God gives us, the first thing that God adds to us through the pen of David, he adds courage. Let the church say courage. It's interesting then, when he adds courage, is when he actually needs it the most. He says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God has instilled me with courage. It is this courage then that allows me to operate according to God's will and not according to my own will. He did not give him crazy, he gave him courage. Sometimes courage is not always about what you can say, but some of the greatest courage is about what you can keep. Y'all just missed that. Sometimes you will hear saints say, Pastor, you have to forgive me because what comes up is just going to come out. But when you are moving in the paths of righteousness, God will present you with things that you will have to look at. And even when you think you need to speak, courage will say, because I'm resting in the Lord, I don't have to speak on that. Courage allows you to be able to see the reality of it, but then see the supernatural of it and say, I'm going to believe God. Courage says, I heard what the doctor said. I see the report. But courage says, I also see that God is a healer and a mighty hand who can come in and do whatever he wants to do. I can see the finances in my life, and I may be renting today, but I can look at the supernatural and say that I'm moving in tomorrow because I trust God's word over what I see in the natural. It is here that God is showing David that even though he's in a valley of shadow of death, it's at that moment that he has courage. In the moment when we would excuse him of being fearful, in the moment when we would excuse him of making a bad mistake and running away, God says, these are the times I show up and strengthen my children with a mighty hand. I wish I had a better witness right there. He will give you courage, but the courage does not come from within. The courage comes from without, and the relationship to the Father then boldens your courage. He says it like this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's the courage. Why? For thou art with me. I am able now to be courageous because of my companionship. Let the church say companionship. It's the companionship. It's the relationship that I have with God which makes me courageous when other people would run away. It makes me courageous when other people would say, I quit. It makes me courageous to keep going through the treatment when other people have given up. The courageousness I display is because of the companionship that I have with a God who is on the outside, but then also lives on the inside. Am I talking to anybody here? It is through that that I understand that I can do all things. Now, it's interesting. Because in the earlier passages, verse number 2, he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Listen to the verbiage. He leadeth me. In verse 3, he restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. But then in the most distressful and dark times of our lives, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen, for thou art with me. What David is saying here to all of us is that no matter how successful you are, how brilliant you are, how excellent you are in every area of life, all of us under the sound of my voice has an area of distress that we're dealing with. It's the valley of the shadow of death is synonymous to darkness, which is synonymous figuratively to distress. As believers, we walk by faith and we move up the King's highway, moving from faith to faith. But until you hear the word of God, which strengthens your faith in a particular area, for many of us, there's darkness in certain areas of our lives until we hear a word of God that then activates our faith. That's why it's important for us to be in Bible study at 11 and at 6:30. It is important for us to be in Sunday morning worship at 8 and 11 because God is going to send a word to you that is going to activate your faith, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so if I'm going to grow in this relationship with God, I have to be constantly tuning my ear to God's channel so I can hear God's word, so I can grow in faith. And when God can trust me, that's when he can add to my life. Lord, have mercy. When he can trust me, he will add to my life. When he can trust me with this and when he can trust me with that, he will add. If God cannot trust you, he's not going to burden you with promotion. Oh, Lord, y'all. I'm almost done. He will not burden you. And so while you're sitting there saying, why, Lord, how long? It's because he can't trust you with addition and promotion. Because of what happens in verses 1, 2, and 3, assurance, alignment, and ascension, when we get those things and we're walking in the path of righteousness, this was when God says, she's ready. Don't matter if we think, because God will raise somebody up who we don't even think should be there. See, you don't know everybody's story. And it is amazing how God will snatch you out of a situation and raise you up and hold you as his statesman to say, this is a testimony that I've been laboring with the Lord and the Lord answered my prayer. See, we look at promotion with all kinds of things, and you have to have this and you have to have that. When God get ready to promote, he promote those who's been walking with him. Those who he can trust, those who knows his heartbeat, those who knows his care, and those who have been through some stuff and who have come out as pure gold. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. It is with the addition. And so when God can add, and sometimes he will begin to multiply in your life, it's not because you are all of that. It's because you have committed yourself to a lifestyle of kingdom living and righteous living according to his word. Amen, amen, amen. In God's economy, it's amazing how the companionship of God will begin to take you to places and add things to your life that doesn't make sense to anybody else. I'll share this with you, and excuse me for personal illustration, not bragging, just stating facts. A couple of years ago, my wife and I were just minding our business, just doing what the Warners do. Living holy for God, staying out of trouble, trying to do it God's way. And we received an invitation to come to the White House to participate in a reception signed by First Lady Michelle Obama. And it was RSVP, I think in French it's Respondez s'il vous plaît or something like that. Respond if you please. And we responded real quick, and we got there in D.C., and we stayed at one of the nicest hotels, and we didn't go and visit the White House. We received a personal invitation to come to a quarter to hang out with the First Lady. As I'm there, I'm looking and thinking about where I come from. All the stuff I've been through, all the people I know. And I started realizing that I did not have any association with anyone that could have gotten me in that room in the flesh. But I did have association with someone in the spirit that opened a door that no man can shut. See, I'm trying to help you. When God wants to give addition to your life, he doesn't need man's approval. He will reach over man, scoop you up, and put you into a place where you don't have to praise anybody to get there but God. See, God want to do something so big in your life that he wants to even blow your mind of how good he can be to you. I wish y'all talk back to me. He wants to give you something so great that all you're going to do is get up all day, all night, and say, look at what God has done in my life. If he can trust you with addition, he will give you things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it even entered into the thoughts of men, but it has entered into the thought of God. So my question is, how big can you think? Because no matter how big you can think, it's still small to God. God's saying, I need you to think big. I need you to trust me. I need you to test me. I need you to say, God, you said you could do it, and then present it to him and say, now, God, let me see what you're going to do. Lord, y'all so quiet. God says addition comes when you have courage, when you have companionship. And then lastly and finally, in verse number 4, he says, for thou art with me. Now watch this. Lastly and finally, he gives us comfort. And the comfort comes with having the rod and the staff. They comfort me. In the next few moments, I want to share something. Very few saints that I've ever heard have actually prayed for the rod. See, the rod is for correction, but the staff is for protection. David says, you can't just want protection without having correction. Y'all ain't gonna talk back to me. He says, listen to the verbiage, thy rod and staff, pronoun they, more than one, comfort me. So in other words, if I'm going to be positioned for God to bring addition and promotion to my life, I have to be willing to be corrected by God. Amen, amen, amen. And protected by God. And when I am, he can trust me with promotion and addition. He adds to my life courage. He adds to my life a level of companionship that no man could ever fulfill. I can remember my father saying it like this: he will be a grandmother for the, he'll be a mother for the motherless and a father for the fathers. Y'all heard that before. In other words, when something is absent, God will sneak in and he will fill the void and then add to what you thought you was losing to let you know you didn't lose anything at all. When he comes along, you only gain. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And so the companionship, then I enter into comfort. Comfort. It's not just about having money. You can have money and commit suicide. Because you may be comfortable financially and miserable emotionally and psychologically. God wants to bring a level of comfort and a level of peace to you that you can just walk into the bliss of saying, I am a citizen of the kingdom and I am a child of God. Just walk around being happy, being confident, being comfortable with who you are. And no matter who tries to take away from you, you can always say, look, whatever you take away, God is going to replenish it and he's going to give me more. Comfort is what we're looking for. Comfort with God gives you the ability to just do things where other people look at you and marvel. Comfort will have you burying a loved one and coming to church Saturday and coming to church and worshiping God on Sunday. Comfort would allow you being kicked out of your living quarters and rejoicing God for the next place you have to live and you don't even know where it is. Comfort will have somebody walking out on you and you hurt on one side, but you're thanking God that they made room for what God is about to give you. Comfort. When you understand the peace and the comfort of God, it is so satisfying. And what David is saying is that there is a divine addition that God has for all of us. He wants you to be courageous. He wants you to grow in this companionship with him. And then when he starts blessing you, he don't want you to be shamed. You get something new, you get a new TV, you won't even put the box outside because you don't want the neighbors to know that you got a new TV. Every now and then, look, you just need to throw it out there to let them know he's still blessing me. Get a new car, don't want to drive it to work. You don't want nobody to know. They may mess up my rate. Look, get your car and drive it to work. He's still blessing you. See, when God does it, you don't have to be ashamed of. And so when you get it from God, you worship God in season, out of season, publicly, privately. You let everybody know, look at what God has done for me. It's divine addition. God wants to bless you, saints. Let me say it prophetic. God told me to tell you. He's ready to bless you, but he's waiting for you to get in the path of righteousness that when he blesses you, he can trust you to worship the provider and not the provision. Divine addition. God even wants to number some of our days. Some of us worrying ourselves to death. Worrying about who like you, worrying about what's happening on your job. You got gray hair and doing all this stuff, and none of those folk can make your life better. And God is standing on the sideline saying, hey, 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 all you got to do is call my name. I'll step in and work it out. And your eyes is on everybody else but God. God saying, I am the one that can make it right for you. God is saying, when you call on me, this is what David is saying. David is saying all this in 23rd Psalm is he wants to give us some stuff. He wants to add to our life. He wants to allow us to enter into kingdom comfort. When was the last time somebody made you mad? And you did not have a vengeful heart. You just smiled and say, all right, that's cool. God gonna keep blessing me anyway. See, when you get to that point where all of your looking is on God, you see those things horizontally, but you focus on those things eternally, vertically. You see all that what's going on, but you focus on that which is vertical. And when you look at what is vertical, you begin to smile. In closing, I had the blessed privilege of teaching philosophy at Southern University in Baton Rouge. And one of the philosophers said this. He said, anyone looking down from heaven to earth maybe could say there's not a God. But anyone looking up from earth to the heavens can only say there must be a God. y'all missed the shot. When you begin to see the birds and the fowls of the air, you got to say there's a God. When you begin to see the alignment of the universe and the sun and the stars and the moon, you have to say there is a God. When you begin to see how the day moves and how the night slides in and how God waters his garden every morning with dew, you have to say there is a God. You have to say there's a God, even though you have an alarm clock. It's not the alarm that wake you up. It's the finger of God touching you and your eyes opening up and behold, you see a brand new day. It's nothing but the hand of God that keeps your mind, that keeps your money, that keeps your relationships, that keeps you when sometimes you don't want to be kept. And when we understand that that's the God we serve, we ought to be worshiping him and praising him and saying, God, thank you for assurance. Thank you for alignment. Thank you for ascension. But I want to thank you in advance for all of the addition that is coming my way. I have to look up and say, there is a God. We used to sing an old hymn that simply says something like this. Over my head, I hear music in there. Y'all know the rest. There must be a God somewhere. And you ought to be able to say, thank you, Jesus, because you are a living testimony that God is alive and well. Amen, amen, amen. Now I'm going to be messy for about 20 seconds. Some of y'all ain't clapped all service. Some of you ain't said amen. But when the Broncos play the Cowboys in a week, I will be able to hear you up in Reunion hollering and screaming. And the Broncos didn't wake you up this morning. The Broncos didn't start you on your way. The Broncos didn't put food on your table. It was God, and he is worthy to be praised. Touch somebody and tell them it's time to praise God. It's time to praise God. For all he's done, it's time to praise God. Give God a hand clap of praise for the word. Amen, amen, amen.